Hallelujah. I couldn't help when I was sitting there thinking of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. I will boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I like the line about I will boast in the Lord. You know, we boast about a lot of things, but is it okay today if we just kind of brag on the Lord a little bit? I said, is it okay if we brag on the Lord a little bit today? Amen. God is good. He's always good. And I was thinking, I didn't share this last night, but 10 years ago, October of this past year, 10 years, the first Sunday of October is set aside as the International Day to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Robert Stearns oversees that in Israel. And so nations all over the world pray, I mean, not just that day, but it's one day that they really come together. And so it was prior to that 10 years ago, as Pastor Bert mentioned, I went to a breakfast that Road to Jerusalem sponsored. I didn't know anybody there. And while I was there, I was asking the Lord to show me who to go to ask if they would come to our congregation. We're in Franktown called Casswood Canyon Church, and I was wanting to find somebody that blew the shofar. Now, I personally, up until that time, think about this, 10 years ago, never heard anybody blow the shofar. And among many other things, okay, I could boast about how the Lord has just taken me in a new journey. But anyway, so I heard Pastor Bert just say something in that breakfast. And I said to myself, that's the man I need to see right after this. So I went up to him and I said, introduced myself and mentioned that I'm looking for someone that blows the shofar. And I was wondering if you could help me with that. Well, long story short, Jay Ledbetter made the call. We made connection. He came over. And I can just see it as it was right now. We're talking a little over 10 years ago. He came that Sunday and held out that shofar and just began to explain about it. And I don't know about you because you're used to it, but it was just like honey was dripping out of it. I mean, it was just like we were sitting on the edge of our chair. I'm serious. It was such a fresh word for us. And then he came back and he taught once a month on the feast. And then he said, you know, why don't we do a Seder meal here? So we did a Seder meal. We did a lot of things over the last 10 years. Our appreciation, our love for our Hebraic roots have just gone up this way. It's just been a marvelous journey, I have to tell you. And the connections that the Lord has put in our lives. To this day, I meet with one of our brothers. You know who he is, and we meet every month to pray together. One of the rabbis in the area that loves the Lord, and we just pray. And we're really trying to model that one new man, Jew and Gentile, coming together. We have a common interest in our Lord, our Savior, Yeshua. And what a joy. It's just been a fabulous journey. Well, 10 years ago, I had contacted Royal Israel and asked if they'd be willing to come out during that time and bring the worship team that they had and some of the dancers. And Craig led the way, and we had a marvelous time. And then the next year, we were able to have Pastor Bert come and share, and we were just so blessed with that. And so on and on it's gone. So I just wanted to give people here today a little background that for your pastor to open up this gathering like this just didn't come because he had nothing else to do today. Okay? You know, there's relationships. How many know that it takes time to develop relationships? You do know that. And to trust people to come behind the sacred desk, as it were, the pulpit or Harvey Lectern, whatever you want to say, to come behind this and to speak. You have to know these people. You have to trust people. There's a lot of things that are said in the name of the Lord, but I wonder which Lord they meant. But anyway, you know, so somehow we just have to just, the relationship has grown, and Jay is still a close friend of ours. I was a little disappointed, unfortunately, that he couldn't be here this weekend. He set it up, and then he is not here, but we'll catch up to him for sure. Now, what we want to do this morning, kind of like we did last night, of course, you never know what the Lord wants to do, but you just kind of have a little strategy, and you just kind of move. How many know when you're following the Lord, you just got to move? Yeah. Just move, and then let him lead and guide you. And he said he'd come to do that. The Holy Spirit is moving, and we want to follow him today. But at any rate, what I would like to do is just kind of give you a little overview of our trip. We just came back December 16, and we left November 26. We left the day before Thanksgiving, so we were gone almost 3 weeks. Now, you know Alex Yelenga better than we do because you've been having him here for many years. I met him 7 years ago. So that's in the relationship that we built 10 years ago. 7 years ago is when Jay called and said, we have a brother from Africa that I know would bless your congregation. And so we had Alex come, and with the exception of 1 year out of the last seven, he came. And we already have him scheduled May 17th, so we'll have him again this year. And I know that we'll have him every year as long as I'm leading the congregation because of that relationship that has been established. And a couple years ago, when he was at our congregation, my wife really prophesied in a sense. We kind of had, I hope you appreciate a little humor. It's all clean humor. But calling me, salt and him pepper. And those of you that don't know, Alex is from Zambia. And I love his smile. But anyway, there was a word spoken about we would go over one day. And, sometimes we want to go. You know, here's what we have. We have people that have the resources that can go, but they really either don't want to go or don't feel called to go. Then you have people that, here am I, like I said, here am I, send me. But our resources are kind of limited. Do you know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, when the Lord provides, and you're one of those persons that I want to go, and that's kind of how it was. The Lord provided our plane tickets to go, and the rest we just kind of saved up, and we went, and we had a glorious time. We're going to just show you in a few minutes a slideshow that you're going to see, and then we had 16 members, five are present today, and each one of them will bless you. They won't share very long, but they're going to come up and share something that I think will be a real blessing to each one of you, because you need to know firsthand. We're giving you a fresh report. This is not something just from Alex. We're telling you, as brothers and sisters that live in the Denver area, what God is doing to validate every cent that you sent has not gone in vain. It has gone to spread the gospel, and the kingdom of God is being advanced in Zambia because of you. Come on, let's just, I don't know if you clap here or not, but let's give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Thank you, Lord. And so, when you take a trip like that, you don't know what to expect. Now, my wife and I lived in Malawi over a year. We were there as missionaries over there teaching in a Bible school way out in the village. That was an experience all in of itself, and we won't go into that. However, I just got to throw in one thing. We are at one congregation, and I did a couple songs, and all of a sudden he said, we want you to sing a song in Chichewa. Well, that was like 27 years ago. I mean, I guess once you have it, you don't lose it. But I didn't really know the language, but I knew a few things. And so, you remember the old chorus? Maybe you don't, but some of you might. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go, you remember that? Well, Oyela. Anyway, I still remember that. And so here we are on the stage, a lot of people, and we're just singing. And I mean, I don't know how many times we sing that. One thing you understand, in Africa, they sing those choruses a lot of times. Okay, so just prepared for that if you ever go. And we sang that. It's like the children. When we were at the day school, we taught them some songs that were fun songs, songs with motion. And then, we need to do more because they were just eager and hungry to sing and worship the Lord. And so, do you remember the verse in Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. They got into that song like it was the first time they've ever heard. I think it was the first time they ever heard. But, when you sing something you've known forever, it was like a fresh anointing came over that place. And those kids were dancing around. And I don't know how many times we sang that chorus, but it was in their spirit. How many know when that happens, you don't care?
That's right.
It was marvelous. Well, anyway, we arrive after leaving about 5:40 in the afternoon on Wednesday, and we're arriving at 12:30 on Friday. There's a nine-hour difference there. They're 9 hours ahead. But I tell you what, it was because of people like you, those of you that knew that we were going, they were praying for us. And I look at it, the prayers of the saints and also the goodness of God, that we could arrive on that Friday and that Saturday, that Sabbath on. We were going full speed ahead. We were ministering every Shabbat. We had three of those, so we ministered at Messianic congregations all over, and then other congregations on Sunday. We had a couple leadership gatherings that we met with leaders. When the Lord showed up in these gatherings, it was just so fun to watch him move among leaders. How many know what I'm talking about? And in this one particular occasion, one of our team members just had a word of knowledge, that is from the Lord, and said, there's somebody here that has a hole in your heart. Now, that's kind of a bold thing to bring up. Do you know what I'm saying? You got to, somewhere along the line, you got to trust the Holy Spirit on this, okay? And so he did. And sure enough, there was a pastor that came forward, had a hole in his heart. We laid hands on him and began to pray for him. And the Spirit of the Lord just broke in that midst, and it was powerful. Don't you love it when the Lord just comes, and if you just give him room, he'll move? I mean, if we tighten things so much he has no place to move, then we're going to just get what we want. But if we say, come, and he came, and it was wonderful. But what we were able to do was to meet the children. Now, you've heard about the orphanage home, the live-in home that they have. They have 10 children. And when we were there, 4 of the 10 were sponsored at $80 a month. And when we came back, we said, oh, Lord, we got to help. You know, not that it's about us. Here, I'm just trying to boast about the Lord. How many know that he uses people? Okay, I just thought I'd make sure you knew that. He uses us. Thanks be to God. And so here, we get back and get the word out, and now all 10 are sponsored. Now, that's $800 a month that doesn't have to be shouldered by them. Somebody else is taking that. Do you see how that works? And so we got excited by that and told Faye that, and she writes back, should we get another 10 kids? So maybe so. I mean, they have a facility that can have 80 or 90, maybe even 100 kids when they got everything in place. So, well, then we discovered when we were with those children, we gave them gifts. Some of the team members might share some of the other things. You know, clothes were given, shoes were given. And to see those children that, you know, don't have their parents and their life is so different, it was quite moving, and others will share about that. We also spent 3 days at the day school, just sharing, teaching, doing crafts, music, praying with them. We even had an invitation. A couple of our guys were sharing on identity. How many know that they have an identity? When you receive the Lord, you don't have this orphan spirit that so many even possess that have parents. They just feel orphaned. But I tell you, when he comes, when they understand who they are in the Lord, it's a wonderful, powerful thing. And we begin to pray for those that came forward that felt called to be a pastor, an evangelist, or one of the fivefold. And we just prayed for them. And then we had a prayer tunnel, we call it. They came through every kid. We laid hands on every child. Every child came through. All the leaders came through. How many know that there's a power in prayer? God is moving in this day school, and to see these children just respond, okay? Now, it's a school. The government helps in some way, but how many know that when the Lord shows up, it doesn't matter what ties are there, he's going to do what he wants to do. And so we're ever grateful for that experience. And then we were able to go up north to Indola, which is about a 4-hour trip, took us about 6. It's just the way it is. You go to every community, and you've got 8 speed bumps, so you're definitely going to stop. You're just going to slow down. And then there's checkpoints every so often that these officers are checking to see if you've got valid license. And so it takes time to go from A to B. And so we went up to Indola and ministered up there. And then we also went down to Livingstone and had a couple days of just no ministry on that. Those 2 days, we got the Livingstone, we were able to see a safari, and we're able to see the Victoria Falls, even though it wasn't full bloom because it was a dry area. Now it's the rainy season, and so the whole cliff will be filled with water. You'll see some pictures, just a few streams coming down. But we were able to partake in that and just be with Alex and Faye in a time. It was their anniversary while we were there, and so we were able to just give them something and encourage them along the way. And then we were able to go out into the village, Chinkuli Village, and we had a Thursday and Friday night outreach. And we showed the Jesus film part 1 on one day and part 2 on the other. And Bob, our evangelist, you'll hear from him, he began to preach the gospel. And we had several people, a total for the 2 nights, somewhere around 50 people, literally got out of their seats, not coming to get something. They came to get the Savior. Do you know what I'm saying? And it was powerful just to see the hunger. And then we gave him clothes. We fed them. It was powerful. We took some solar devices of the New Testament in the language, in their native language, 3 different languages. We gave those to Alex to be distributed to the congregations. But in Chinkuli, we went back on Sabbath and ministered there. And there's a location. You'll see a picture, but you won't be able to, you know what we're thinking. But we said, you know what, with the Lord's help, we'd like to see a well be dug there because they have to go so far to get water. And so we asked Alex, how much does it cost to put a well there? He said, $5,000. And so when we came back, we said, okay, we got a couple assignments. How many love it when the Lord gives you an assignment? All I'm saying to you, just be faithful to it. That's all you need to do. And so we said, okay, we're coming back, and we're going to do something. We're kind of adopting this nation, just like you. And what we're going to do is we're going to help. We're going to help get a well. And we're going to help see that the 50, I think there was 54 children of the day school that had not been sponsored going into, I think, last night. And so that's what we said we're going to do. And I just got to brag on the Lord. Is that okay? I'm here to boast on the Lord. Last night, your pastor said a miracle happened last night. I love it. Pastor Burke gets up here and he says something like this.
Well, let's, no. let's dig a well tonight.
He says, let's dig a well tonight. You know what that means? That means let's see that $5,000 would come in. Now, we're trying to raise money at our congregation, and I think we had $800 or so. So far, that's come in. But he says, let's build a well. Well, you know how that is. And I'll tell you what, at the end of the meeting, I just am boasting in the Lord. Okay, I'm over in that section, and I'm almost getting dizzy. Bob comes up to me, and he says, somebody that is not a regular from this congregation is putting a $5,000 check in the offering. Come on now. Hallelujah. $5,000 to go to that well. And that's not the end. Then he says, I want to sponsor some children. And another $3,000 came in that I'm sending to Maria because she keeps that, and then she'll send it up here. It's made out to Rural Israel. $3,000, which means, computes to 10 children, $25 a month for the next year. Can we just say thank the Lord again? So you have to understand, you know, you come back and but there's a bigger goal. Now, I hope you don't feel I don't have a lot of faith, but I thought, okay, we could come back and do our best the year of 2015 to raise $5,000. We'll do the best we can, okay? You know, maybe me of little faith. And it happened last night, so that's done. And whatever came in above that $5,000, I just want to just, I was sharing with Pastor, we didn't have a chance last night, but this is the bigger picture of the bigger vision. But Alex is such a humble man, and talking about finances isn't maybe his, he says, my passion is to plant churches. That's his passion. And his wife has a heart for the children. But, you know, you got a wonderful building. It takes resources. And so when he gave us a tour of their compound, they have a building on the far, if you're walking in, far right, that has walls up. That's all. It's not enclosed, doesn't have a roof on, doesn't have the windows in, it doesn't have electric and plumbing and all those things. And we asked him, what's the vision for that? And he says they want to have an apartment there so someone could be on the grounds where they have their orphanage facility and then they have their sanctuary there. And they want to complete that. And then here's the thing. Over in Zambia, you may or may not know this, if you're a leader, like a pastor or a rabbi or whatever, you have to have an office in a public place. Now, many of us here may have an office in our home and we use that, but there you have to. He can have one in his home, but he's literally got to be in an office. And so we said, well, could you move your office out here if that was all done? He said, absolutely. So he could do away with renting downtown and have an office right there on the compound, be right next to the orphanage, right next to their sanctuary. What a wonderful thing. So now we have just bumped up that $5,000. That's done. This is a $15,000 project. I don't know if I'm ready to take it on, but I'm in faith going to say, Lord, if this is your will for this year, let it be so. So everything that came in last night above that $5,000, what we have collected, we're going to now channel that to help build that building, finish it up inside, put the roof on, the windows and everything, so that can literally be a facility used for the kingdom of God. How many think that would be a great idea? So I hope you'll join us in prayer and help us in that as well, that God will make it happen. We're going to believe every one of those children are going to be sponsored this year. So 10 have been taken now, so maybe it's around 40, some are left. And we're just going to be doing what we can do. I know you're going to do what you can do. And I just want to thank all of you for your faithfulness and prayer and giving over the past several years. Alex will be here, I think, in March. He'll be with us in May, and he's going to be touring around. And you're going to hear in just a minute from this team that went, what God has done. We want to boast on the Lord today. It's not about us. It'd be anyone that says, here am I, send me. So if the Holy Spirit speaks to any one of you about, you know what, you got the resources, you got the time, I'd like to encourage you to talk to one of us. We can give you a firsthand report of what God is doing. And so I won't go on any longer because there's so much to say, but I'm just going to stop there. We're going to show you a slideshow, give you kind of a visual of some of the things that we encountered. The team members are going to come up one at a time. They'll introduce themselves and share, and then I'll close our part off with prayer. and turn it back to your pastor in a few minutes. So if you'll do that, thank you, gentlemen, and God bless you. Just enjoy and let the Lord speak.
Oh, Themselves, and then after that, I'll just have a word for you guys.
Hi, my name is Tamar. I'm in the sixth grade, and I'm 10 years old.
Hi, my name is Eliana. I'm in third grade, and I'm 7 years old.
Hi, my name is Gabriela.
Hi, my name is Gabriela. I'm 5 years old. I'm in the first.
This is Siwo Braham Yalenga. She's a year and 2 months, not in any grade. And I'm Faye Yalenga.
Yes, I just want to say thank you to CCC and Living Word and many of you who made it possible for the team to come. We were blessed beyond measure. And I speak on behalf of the churches, the orphans, and the different ministries that were touched by the team that came down here. We're so blessed, and God bless you guys, and we hope to see you here in Zambia again. Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay, 2, 1. Hi.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Wow, what an awesome opportunity to be here this morning. We just really appreciate the invite to be able to come and share what we experience in Zambia. Sorry if I get a little choked up, but those pictures just
bring back such great memories. And so anyway, I'll get through it. But we had a great time over there, a great time of ministry. And we were able to stay with Alex and Faye at their home and with their family. And they're so accommodating and humble. And, I mean, they kind of moved everybody out and moved us in, including themselves. They took a room, you know, in the back. And the way you see Alex and the way you see Faye when Alex comes here is the same way that he's over there in his own environment at home. Just the same, you know, sweet spirit, you know, a humble man with integrity. You can't say any more about him. Everything that we experienced was they did everything to excellence. Okay, there wasn't anything shabby. Everything was done with excellence, and because that's just the kind of man he is, and that's the kind of woman Faye is. Everything was organized and put in order, and from you know breakfast in the morning, you know when we got up to dinner at 10 or 11 o'clock at night when we got back. And you know all the transportation and everything else, and so anyway, we can verify and affirm to whatever Alex is doing. Like Pastor Jack mentioned, every dollar is spent wisely, and if the dollars aren't there, the Yolenga family with the limited resources that they have will make up that difference, and they'll worry about the children before they worry about themselves, and it's just awesome. One of the things that struck me going over there was the children, of course, in the day school and in the Jerome Fleischer home. Just the, well, you've seen the smiles on the faces. I mean, they're just, you'd never know that they don't have earthly parents. You would never know. You'd never know that they don't have nice clothes to wear. They don't let it on. Because the love of God just shows through them. And when they come up and they hug you, it is a hug with unconditional love attached to it. There is no, you know, what can I get from this person? It is, can I hug you? You are special. Thank you for coming and seeing me. Thank you for sharing time with me. Thank you for that hug back. But it's just unconditional. It's the kind of love and the kind of hug that the Lord will give you, that he does give you, that he does give me. No strings attached. Just pure love. And that was what I seen, you know, through the children, whether it be at the Jerome Fleischer home or at the day school, or when we were out into the villages, or whether we were at other congregations ministering. It was just the love of God that flowed through the people. It started with the children, all the way up through, you know, through the adults, through the leaders. They were just so humble and grateful and honoring to us. I mean, it was just such a blessing. I got more out of it than I'm sure I was able to take over there. Because that is the kind of people that are serving God over there. They love God just like we love God here. It's, you know, God is big, right? The Spirit is the same whether we are here in Denver or whether we are in Zambia or whether we are in France or whether we are wherever we are. The Spirit of God is the same. And as we would go into the congregations, the thing that I noticed was the Spirit of God was always there before we ever got there. The Spirit of God was there through their ministering and song. I remember walking into one congregation and they were just singing a cappella. And it was like I was walking in through the throne room of heaven. The Spirit of God had just already come down and it was just there waiting, just hovering as the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth before Jesus spoke the words. The Holy Spirit was just so strong. And so I just want to thank all of you for, you know, for your support, your prayer support, because everything went really without a hitch. Planes were on time. There was no issues there, you know. All our bags got there. All our bags got back. You know, the little things that you kind of think about, well, what's going to happen? You know, it was all taken care of. And it was through the prayers of the saints that made that possible. So anyway, again, just appreciate the opportunity to be able to share. We do have some photo albums in the back, and then there's a slideshow that's running also. In one of the photo albums, there is a picture of the village and the house that Alex grew up in, where he walked his 30 miles into Lusaka to be able to read the Bible. And so anyway, just feel free to go ahead and thumb through those. So thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for letting us come and be a part of your day and your Sabbath day. And we're just blessed to be a part of your congregation today and to be a testimony of God's goodness and his grace in the land of Zambia. And, you know, whenever there's a verse in the Bible that talks about the feet of them that bring good news, how beautiful are the feet of them. And I was thinking about it all, that Alex and Faye, Rabbi Alex and Faye, and all the people that, the congregations that they have birthed out there in different places, and the people that they're raising up, definitely very apostolic, their heart for their nation, their heart for the lost, and their heart for the children. And so their feet are beautiful feet, and they're taking authority, their inheritance. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the land of Zambia as it is in heaven. So they've taken that ownership, they've taken the word of God serious to go forth. That's, you know, the our Lord Messiah, Yeshua, that was one of his last commands as he was going, ascending to the Father, go and make disciples of all nations. And so for us to just come and be a hand extended, to be able to lift his arms up, to be able to be used of the Lord, to just come and bring encouragement and partner with him. Isn't it beautiful that wherever you go, we are all part of the family of God? And, you know, you're not a stranger. You go over there and you meet these beautiful Zambian people and all the different leaders and the people in the congregations, and just the beautiful, and I'm thinking, they're my family, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what an awesome time it was to be able to just be in the land, have our feet on that ground, and be able to sow into that land our finances, but our prayers, our tears, our joining together and exhorting and lifting up the name of Yeshua in that land. And you guys are a part of it. And we thank you so much for being part of the prayers and for supporting Alex and Faye all these years. And we are a testimony here to testify of the goodness of God in that land. And the thing that ministered to me a lot was just the fact that, you know, our life, our individual life is like a vapor, the word says, a flower that fadeth away. We're here for just a moment in time. When you think of eternity, forever and ever and ever, we're going to be with our Lord and Savior someday. But our life is just like the years that we have that God gives us on this earth is just like a drop in time compared to eternity. And what we do with our life and how God is like weaves this tapestry from the beginning of time, infinity, and he weaves us all in this tapestry for his purposes, for his glory. And it just marveled. I mean, you know, who would ever think I would step my foot on Zambia soil? But I noticed that was just a time in history, in my life, that I could be there and be part of God's plan, overall big plan. And, you know, there's so many moments that I thought about, moments that you're not expecting, moments like when we on our way from one town to another town, and we pulled in to a parking lot to use the restroom, and there's these two street children digging in the garbage can because I think there's one. How many, Bob? Do you know? Remember the figure of orphans in that country, in that land? 2 million. Over 2 million in the country of Zambia. Zambia's in the top 10 poorest in the world nation. And so many street children that don't have anywhere to go. And I saw these two boys just digging their food out, you know, trying to find something to eat out of this trash can. And the Lord said, go in there and buy. We were at a bakery. Go buy something and give it to them. Well, by the time I could get in there and get it, they were running down there, and I had to run after them. And I said, here. And just his eyes just like lit up, kind of like tears, and like, where did you come from out of nowhere? This white person standing there going, here, you know? And I thought, wow. I said, Lord, you know, I will never know what that is going to do in that man's, that little boy's life. But you, when you think about how it's the person that God puts in front of you, that's our assignment. So every day when you go out of this week, when you're out there, wherever you work, your home, your family, it's the person that God puts right in front of you. That's your assignment. Sometimes we think so big and we think, oh, we got to do all these great. But the Lord said, it's the one by one. The Lord ministered. He took his time. The woman at the well. He spoke to the masses, but he was personal. And every child that we hugged and every person that we went to, like Wayne said, it ministers to you more. It just, you want to take them all home with you. They are precious. They are precious souls. And when we were at the day school, the thing that the Lord spoke to me about was these children here, they're world changers. You know, those children that can come in and get fed that one meal, some of those children walk 5 miles to get there to that school. And that's the only meal they get. And they get protein maybe once a month. That's it. And yet they're so hungry to get educated. It's a privilege in that country to even have an education. And so what Rabbi Alex and Faye are doing is so crucial to the country, to raise up leaders. And I thought, wow, those kids are getting sown not only education, but also the Word of God. And I looked at those little faces and I realized they are children of God. They're heirs of the kingdom. And one of them could grow up and be the president of that nation someday. And so that's what the Lord impressed upon me. These are world changers. These are world changers. And that's how we have to look, you know, as we're ministering to people. This is God's child. And as we look in the face of a child or we hug them, the Lord says, whatever you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. And so I'm looking at the face of Jesus, Yeshua, when I see those children. I'm looking right into his eyes. Because that his heart says, become like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. And so it was a very fabulous trip. And we're, you know, one thing that you saw, a picture of the sewing machine, the Singer sewing machine. So we're, through different monies that came in, we're able to get sewing machines for the skill center that they want to have for those kids. And then also a donation came. You know, the Lord blessed our brother Bob to be able to donate sound equipment. So when we went out in the village, we had all the sound equipment, and now they're able to have sound equipment for their congregation. And just so many miracles. Even, you know, we took over extra, like five bags with all the stuff, you know, crafts and gifts and everything for the kids. And they were saying it's going to cost us like all this money to take over the bags. Went through the air. They never asked us for one cent for those extra bags. Just miracle, just blessing after favor. And so God is good. And you saw the one picture. There was like a brick building in the slideshow, and then there was a big empty field kind of by it. That's where the well will go. And so we're excited to get Alex that news. But God bless you, and we're just so blessed by the Lord. But thank you very much for allowing us to share today. Hallelujah.
Shabbat Shalom. It is such an honor to be able to come and share with you guys today. And my name is Mike Mosier, and I was, again, part of the team, and I was basically the cameraman. And so I didn't have a lot of, I wasn't in a lot of pictures, but, you know, they were kind enough to take pictures with me, and they still didn't have to worry about their cameras breaking or anything like that. But we had a wonderful time. This was a time, this was one, my first missions trip in my life, and I've always wanted to go on short-term missions trips, and God presented an opportunity. He placed the burden on my heart to go. I fell in love with Alex when he first came into our congregation and shared his heart with us, and from the very moment that we met, you could just see the Spirit of God all over that man, and his smile could melt 1,000 candles like that. You know, he just has a wonderful smile, and from that very moment, I knew that we were going to have a close relationship with him and in the ministry that he's doing. And like everybody else has said, they are doing the work of the kingdom. And it's not just raising up churches and planting churches, but taking care of kids and what God has placed on their heart. And through his faithfulness and being obedient to what God is doing in his life and what God has called him to do, God is beginning to open up the windows of heaven for him. And it was proven in our trip there where, you know, we were able to provide a brand new laptop for the day school. And then the sewing machines and then all the gifts for the children and everything like that, the clothes, the goats that were needed for their protein, the meat. And so it was just to see the little things, like Lynette was saying, where there was no charge for any of the baggage going there or coming back. It was just God's blessing was over this whole trip. And it's not only because of our faithfulness and obedience to him, but the prayers of the saints. You know, if you don't have the prayers of the saints, you're going into the battlefield with no weapons. And that's what it's all about. And I just wanted to thank God that through our relationship with Roy Israel and being able to introduce us into this wonderful opportunity to minister to kids. And that was where my heart was at. I wanted to go over there and be a grandpa to some kids. And it was such an amazing experience to see smiles on their faces when they just, you know, presented them with gifts, or you just spend a little bit of time with them, you know, by playing with them. You know, when we presented the gifts and you know, we were trying to show the kids on how to play with the toys that we gave them. And one of the most exciting moments for me is after we presented the gifts, you know, the boys had little trucks and the girls had dolls, and so they were out kind of playing with them. And then we had some toys for like the community toy box, if you will. And we pulled, you saw the picture there where we pulled out this red fire truck. And it was like the kid had just seen an angel from heaven. They just like, and they just kind of crept up really slow to this red fire truck. They could not believe that they had this red fire truck that they could play with. And I just thought, how we take so many things for granted over here. You know, and we're such a disposable nation. And these kids look at something like that and are just so grateful to have something to play with. And so it just really inspired us to just spend time with kids, the kids over there, and to interact with them, to play with them. We also noticed that first meeting that their shoes that they had on, they were either like flip-flops or they were being held together by threads. And so the team decided that we would go out and buy them shoes, and that's one of the pictures that you saw as well, that through the money that was raised, we were able to buy the kids nice dress shoes so that they have something nice to wear for Shabbat and then just, you know, the different festivals that we observe. And then I thought, you know, these are kids. They need some tennis shoes. They don't want to mess up their good shoes. So we went, and I was able to purchase tennis shoes for all the kids. And God is so amazing how he provides. And to see the smiles on their faces, that alone was worth the trip for me. That paid for the trip, just to go over there and see a smile on their face. And like when we were at the day school and with the kids at the orphanage, you know, just to pick them up and hug them and just, you know, love on them. And they just thrived on that. And it was just such a moment in time where you were able to see the face of God. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And that was what God has put on our heart. It was the orphans over there to meet their needs. You know, and Alex and Faye have been doing that for so long. And they've been, you know, you can see that they were a little weary. They were getting tired. But when you go over there, this is just like a shot in the arm for them. And it gives them the energy and the strength to carry on. And they know that they're doing what God's called them to do. And it's such an amazing privilege to be able to go over there and do that. And God, throughout this whole time, I want to kind of tell on Alex. So when he comes here, don't let him get away with not dancing. Because he says he doesn't dance, and you saw pictures up there dancing, okay? So you get him out here, and you get him dancing, okay? And you let him know I said that, okay? but it was such a joyous time to be over there, to be able to do, you know, to see how God just did so many things. And when we have a time to fellowship afterwards, come and see me, because I had my own little miracle. There was several miracles that took place over there, but me personally, I had a miracle, you know, where I just got injured, and I just, you know, God took care of that. I didn't have to worry about going to the hospital or anything like that. And so it was just an amazing experience to see God just be with us, give us the strength. And we just, you know, took it day by day, knowing that what we were doing was for the kingdom of God. One of the other things I like to share is the people over there are beautiful people. I was, being a cameraman, I was able to sit out with the people in the seats in the congregation, so I can take pictures and do things like that. And when you just go by and you just, you know, say bless you, and you know, God bless, you know, just touch them and say, you know, just, you know, acknowledge them in some way, they just lit up. It's like, I can't believe somebody from America would come and just say, hi, how you doing today? And I had that opportunity to do that throughout all the different church services that we were attend. And that blessed me to be out there, to be able to hug on the people and say, hey, God bless you. We love you, and we want to be with you, you know, just pray with you and stuff like that. And it just means a lot to be able to interact with the people over there. And they respond just beautifully. There's so much that we can share. We just, you know, with what happened over there, and we just really don't have the time, but you'll have a lot of time to speak with us afterwards. And I just want to just thank you again for allowing us to come and present the ministry that Alex is doing over there. Like everybody else has said, every dollar, every penny is being spent wisely. And if you give $80, that $80 is going to the kids. It's not going for anything else. It's 100% going to take care of those kids. And one last thing. When I decided to make this trip, you know, God placed it on my heart to go. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to go. And then all of a sudden, you started providing finances, you know, for the flights. And I said, you know, and I'm work on commissions. And I told the Lord, I says, Lord, you have to make sure that I have everything done and settled before I leave. And I could see throughout the whole time that I was preparing to go how God was faithful in making sure that I was meeting all the requirements that I needed to make throughout the whole time. And he did that 2 weeks before I even had to get, you know, before we left. And so that's the faithfulness of God. And, I, you know, just to be able to stand here and testify to the miracles that God, you know, of his provision is something that I want to encourage you with. That if God is speaking to you and you don't know where the resources are going to come from, die to yourself, let God do it, take that step of faith, and see what God does for you. God bless.
Shabbat Shalom. Good to see you again. Boy, it's always awesome to be in the house of the Lord. I can never get enough. You know, I feel the Lord's heart towards you. And do you know that you are highly favored of God? You are a people who are blessed of the Lord. And you know, you are not much different than the people of Zambia. When we arrived in the country of Zambia, I looked around. The sky was blue as it is in Denver. The trees were green like they are a lot in Denver. And the people were just the same as you and I. A little bit different of a feeling to be a minority, you know, being the white skin and everybody else is of the dark skin color. But, you know, the Lord was showing me that we're all alike. And He loves all of us just the same. I want to share with you from my evangelistic heart some things about the trip that was meaningful to me. And I want to encourage you. You know, Zambia is a country of 14.1 million people. Of the 14.1 million people, over 2 million are orphans. Of the 2 million orphans running the streets of Africa in Zambia, only 110,000 have a place to call home. My wife and I, we were watching television a couple of nights ago, as we do commonly to kind of put ourselves to sleep. That's what I do. I turn on television. It puts me to sleep at night. Well, we were watching this program, and it was called The World's Richest Dogs. And of all crazy things, the top spot of the first most wealthy dog in all of the earth inherited over $400 million. I said to my wife, now, I didn't have to hear about the $400 million to sound like this is way extravagant. When I heard about the seventh top spot that was, or something like that, that had inherited $12 million, I'm going, this is ridiculous. When you stop to think about the fact it only takes $80 a month to support one orphan in Zambia, to pay for its education, to pay for their food, to put a roof over their head, and to clothe them, it's only $80 a month. To support an orphan for one meal a day and for an education is $25 a month. Yet there's 2 million orphans running the streets in Zambia. And that's one country in all of the world out of many countries. And God knows worldwide what that count would be. We live in a country of such opulence. We're giving $400 million to animals to care for them. But we neglect our own as they're out running through the streets begging for bread. What's wrong with that picture? Now, church, people of the Lord, do let me say this. I didn't go to Zambia necessarily to feed the poor. I didn't go there necessarily to care for the orphans. That was part of our assignment. I went, personally went, with an evangelist's heart. I wanted to see souls won for the sake of the kingdom. And often when I go to various countries around the world, that is my bent. That is my heart. But the Lord so ordained this trip that it was different than most. Most of the time, I spend a year in preparation for a trip like this, and not that we didn't spend a significant time, we did. We had many group meetings, many team meetings, many prayer meetings. We bathed this in prayer, and many of you supported the cause as well, and we thank you and we bless you, and I know that you will receive even more favor from heaven for that. But this was more of a service trip. It was more of a, I call it, and I spoke to Pastor Jack about this, it was more of a scouting mission. We were spying out the land to scope it out, to see what it was like. Because in my heart of hearts, I know I'm going back. I don't know about the rest of the team. I think the rest of the team feels that same way. And we personally believe that we'll be going back in 2016. Somebody I spoke to last night said, well, 2016, well, that sounds like a long time away from now. It does. But we kind of learned something when we were there. We went during the rainy season. And the dry season is from March to about October at the latest. And it takes, like I said, around a year to really plan these things well. And so it just wouldn't give us enough time to really plan out a trip like that. But when we go back in 2016, let me tell you the things that God has rearranged in my mind. He has opened up a window in my heart for the Jewish people. When you bear a last name like Rosenbaum, like I do, you would think that, you know, I come equipped with my Jewish heritage in such a manner as to recognize what you folks are doing here today. Quite frankly, I've never been to synagogue in my entire life. I've been to your fellowship. This is probably my fifth time, something like that. So, but it's interesting to see how God has been realigning things. He's been shifting things. And he's been sending Jewish people my way. And I'm going, God, what is it you're doing? What are you saying? Well, I think I understand. I won't go into all of that because that would take a sermon to do that. But the whole point is there's a shift in the heavens. And the orientation to go on a service trip and minister to the orphans, to feed whole villages, there was an intent to that, by the way, to feed the village so we could preach the gospel, right? To feed their spirits as well, to clothe the naked so we had a platform upon which to speak. But God has spoken to my heart and said, this is a year of increase. And the increase I am seeing is speaking to the Jew, because that's how the gospel message came. As Paul spoke it, he said, for the gospel is of our salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. So the Lord is developing strategies in my heart that when we go abroad, I'd like to go hit the Jewish communities. And I need the training. I need to learn about my Jewish roots to be able to do that. So the Lord is beginning to come full circle in my life, some of these things. In addition, the Lord is also speaking to my heart about ministering to the orphans. Now, I happen to be a tent-making evangelist. I hope you all know what that means. If you don't, that just simply means I'm self-supportive. I have my own business, so I don't seek, funding for my ministry. I go as the Lord leads, and I And as the Lord provides the means, the financial means, then we go. I go. And I like to send teams. This year it was the team of us from CCC, but I've taken teams to other countries. And my heart is to equip other evangelists to go and minister. So on the next time that we go out, we invite you to come. If you have any inkling in your heart, any desire to serve God and to see His kingdom come upon the earth as it is in heaven, I invite you, I challenge you to open your heart to think about coming. It's an unbelievable experience. One of the things I'd like to see happen in my ministry is I've said to Pastor Jack, I says, you know what? I don't have too many opportunities in my own country. The Lord has opened up the doors around the world for me. But because I am a tent-making evangelist, I don't need to ask for offerings to support myself. But one thing I would like to do is ask for an offering for my orphans in Zambia. And I can really see how God could use that to help support, you know, more children and to support Alex's work in Zambia. I want to leave these words with you as an encouragement to you. I want to say to you, I'm just a nobody from Denver. I really don't have anything. I don't come from any kind of a significant background. You don't have to be a somebody to go and do the Lord's work. You just have to have a servant's heart. You have to be willing to do something and go. But the benefit is this: when you open your heart to do God's work, to do kingdom work, because remember, Jesus said these words. He said, go and share this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, etc., etc., right? I can't begin to tell you how many times people will ask me, because I've seen miracles. I see paralytics come out of wheelchairs. And trust me when I tell you, I've never done this in America before. Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, I do see healings in America, but before I went, I wasn't really walking in this kind of an anointing. But when I went, when I was obedient and I went as Jesus commanded, as you go, preach this kingdom message. Well, I was just simply dumb and took by faith what Jesus said to do was the thing to do, and I went. He opened the doors. We saw all these miracles. And so people would ask me, well, why is it that we don't see these same miracles here in America as what we do in these other countries? And here's how I respond to those words. Because, church, we're not fulfilling the mission. The miracles come as you go. When you go, preach this message. You see, the miracles and signs and wonders, it's a sign that points to something. When you see a stop sign on the road, it means stop, doesn't it? It's there for a reason. There's a sign in the road, and it's pointing towards something. A wonder is just like it sounds. You wonder, how in the world did that happen? And its intent is to reach the lost. But as a church, sometimes we get happy in our holy huddles and we don't move out and go as Jesus told us to go. We want to be in our bless me clubs. It's nice. It's comfortable. We know what to experience in our comfort zones. When we step outside of our comfort zones, it's a little bit different, isn't it? There's a lot of unknowns out there. But it's when we go that the miracles happen. If you feel in your heart that you'd like to see the kingdom of God fall on earth, I tell you, my friends, if you're obedient and you go, you will see it. He is the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be forever. One last thing. I thank you. I thank the many of you who prayed for us as we were in Zambia. Keep it in mind, it takes all of us to work together as a team. David instituted a law when he spoke to his band of renegades. He said these words: those who stay behind with the families and with all the goods and the children will share the same reward as those who go out and face the battles and who are in the front lines. His men wanted to pocket all the change. They wanted all the goods. They wanted all the plunder for themselves. And David says, no, we should not do that. Everyone will share. Everyone will share alike. Those of us who went in the front lines of the battle, the reward was great. But those who stayed behind, who supported the troops with their prayers, I keep on losing my hat. Those who stayed behind with the families and the children to protect the home front, your reward is exactly the same. Second Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of you who've been in the background, who've supported our work, either financially or by prayer, let me encourage you with these words. One of these days, you will stand before your Father in heaven, and you will have a welcoming party. You will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And some of these people you will never have known. And you know why? Because of your faithfulness. And they will greet you and hug you. And you're just going to go, who are you? And they will say, I was the one that you prayed into the kingdom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was the one that you blessed with your resources. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You've been so gracious and just listening to everything that we've been able to share. And I'm going to close this in prayer. And Pastor Bird, if you want to come and do the transition, I'll let you do that. Father in heaven, we thank you that we are together. Lord, that we're doing what you call us to do. I just want to pray a blessing, O Lord, over Roy Israel and Pastor Bird and Mary and all the leaders, Pastor Bill and all the leaders of this congregation. Lord, would you just continue to bless them? We pray that your sustaining hand be upon them, your wisdom, your goodness upon them, your vision, your your protection, your strength. And Lord, we do reach out in prayer as they've sowed for so many years in Africa, Lord, that you would just bless them. And we pray for their home front right now, Lord. We do lift up Karen and Mike and others that are in need today. God, we just ask that you administer by your power and by your might. Raise up people, oh God, strengthen the congregation. Those that are sick today that couldn't be here, Lord, just strengthen them even right there at their bedside, oh God, that they'll receive a quickening from you. Lord, we just pray your advancement, your increase over this congregation. Lord, thank you for this wonderful congregation. Their love for you and advancing the kingdom of God here and around the world. Continue, oh God. Be glorified in this place. Be honored in this place. Raise up a generation, oh God, of future leaders to advance your kingdom. Thank you, God, for those that are involved in this congregation. Thank you for everyone that's here today, whether they're visitors or regular attenders. Lord, you're here, and we just want to honor you. We just want to boast in you. Can we just take a moment to thank God? Lord, we just want to thank you. The reports, oh God, that we brought today. We just want to thank you what you're doing even now in Zambia. We're here, but Lord, we see your operation over there. And for this, we want to say thank you. So to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, we could ever ask or think according to his power, his dunamis in us. We give you all praise, Lord. We give you all glory. The reports today is not about us. It's to boast in you. And we thank you, God, even last night, how you just surprised us. You're a God of surprises. Thank you, God. As we step out, you will see it through. So praise be to your name. God bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen.